We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It's another week to serve Jesus in beautiful Brevard County. We want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program, WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We started here on Friday's program, so if you want to go back and listen to that, you can go on to the WMIEFM.com website, log on. That would have been August the 15th, and you can listen to that program. You can download it and listen to it at your leisure, or you can listen to it right then wherever you are. So want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Dennis and Carla, they pastor a great church up in Geneva. It's a small country church, but they make a big impact on the community there. But they not only preach in the pulpit, but they bring biblical values to their business as well. They've been in Brevard County providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning issues, heating issues, and electrical problems for over 50 years. They work primarily in residential settings, but also in some light commercial settings, and they even provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and an affordable price. They travel all throughout Brevard County, all the way down from Barefoot Bay. I've heard of projects they have down there, all the way up into the Mims and Scottsmore area. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. And if that is something that you would like to have, a AC service company who can treat you with integrity, resolve the issues. So we had a situation at church here maybe a month ago, where on Wednesday night our AC was working and then it wasn't working, and they sent a technician out. He saw there wasn't anything major wrong with it. I'd cleaned out the condensation line and thing like that, but he did install something that would make cleaning out that pipe a whole lot easier, and for that I was thankful. So they don't come out and just try and sell you something to sell you something. They come out, take care of the problem, and get you set up to where maybe you don't have that problem in the future. So Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. We thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. So today we're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're talking about King Jehoshaphat and when he was under attack in the nation of Judah. And the people of Moab and Ammon, the Ammonites, had gathered to attack him. And he set himself out to seek the Lord and to pray. And so verse number 5 is where we pick up today. It says, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, For your name is in the temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We're going to stop the reading there today. Jehoshaphat finds himself with a problem. The problem is bigger than what they can resolve naturally. The problem is bigger than they know how to process intellectually. So their physical strength isn't enough. Their intellectual prowess isn't enough. But Judah was being faithfully governed by a man of God at that point in time. And when they did not have natural power to overwhelm the enemy, when they did not have the intellectual capacity to know how to outsmart them, they knew that they had spiritual resource in their relationship and covenant with God. I love to emphasize covenant, because much as in the way that society has tried to lower the importance of a biblical covenant between one man and one woman, and now they've tried to equate that to being the same thing as a man and a woman living together, I want you to know that that's, even though it's the same living address, they are cohabitating together, they are houses built on a different foundation. And many people have that same mindset when it comes to their relationship with God. It's not that they're hostile towards God, it's just that their relationship with God is a relationship of convenience instead of a relationship of covenant. So what they do is they look for a solution whenever a problem arises, but they're not there through thick and thin and things like that. So Jehoshaphat comes and he says, God, we have generations of walking in covenant with you as our God. So this is what he stands up and declares in the house of the Lord. O Lord God of our fathers. He focuses on their relationship with God and the nature of God before he ever addresses the problem. You know, we want to come in, we want to cut right to the chase, we want to get, here's the problem, God, what do we need to do to fix this? Let's get this fixed, let's get it resolved so we can move on. But Jehoshaphat doesn't do that. He starts his time of prayer, a public prayer, by the way, where he's dealing with a nation who is experiencing some uncertainty because of the enemies that have amassed at their borders with bad intentions. And he says, O Lord God of our fathers. It's a great thing when there is generational influence, when there are generations of godly heritage. Jonathan Edwards was a person here in early American history who, because of their relationship with God, and Jonathan Edwards was a huge influence in bringing about the first Great Awakening in the American colonies before it was even a nation. But because of the fact they did not just have a relationship with God, they also had a godly relationship with their family, there was a huge impact on society in a positive manner, because a man and a woman walked in covenant with God, not just in the church, but they walked in covenant with God at the house. And so Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah lean upon that generational lordship of God Almighty that had benefited Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those who were in Egypt and those who had come along and the house of David and all of the godly kings. And that's how Jehoshaphat begins this time of praise. And he asked this question, "Are you not God in heaven?" That's a rhetorical question, because he is really reminding the people that God is God in heaven. He says, let's focus on the nature of God. Let's focus on where his domain is. And he adds to this, not only are you not God in heaven, do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And so he not only focuses on God's dominion in heaven, but he remembers some of the teachings of Solomon, that God is the one who causes nations to rise and nations to fall, that righteousness exalts a nation. He's the one who remembers that God was had given, well, he doesn't remember at this point in time, but he has that same attitude that Daniel would have, that revelation that God causes Babylon to rise and fall, Assyria to rise and fall. There were all sorts of nations. Rome would rise and fall. Greece would rise and fall. Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? So what Jehoshaphat, excuse me, is doing here is he's setting the stage that the problem does not get to dictate the future of God's people. God dictates the future of God's people. That God is able to intervene. That God is able to protect, to keep, to guard, to take care of God's people. This is not a question of doubt. This is a prayer with questions designed to build up the faith of the people who find themselves with an enemy attacking them. And in your hand, is there not power and might? I've probably told this story here on the radio before, but at one point in time, in the early years of Merit Assembly of God, we needed some paper towel holders. And we were tired of spending a lot of money for expensive paper towels in the grocery store, or buying cheap paper towels in the grocery store, and then having to use more of them. We needed to save as much money as we possibly could. And so we were looking for commercial paper towel holders. A friend of mine told me about this person that we could contact. And so I went down there, and he was a man of God. I didn't know it at the time, but he was. And he said, "Well, tell me about your church." And I said, "Well, we're a small church," and he knew more about our church than I knew about our church. And he said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He said, "If you're serving a very, very small God, a God who does not have much power, then I'm not going to be able to help you, because the God I know is the God who is omnipotent, who knows all things. He is the God who is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. If you serve this great, big, wonderful God that I serve, then I may be able to help you." And he ended up, and what I did was I began to have conversations with him about things that the people or that people had said about Merit Assembly of God, their past, their legacy, before I got there, and none of it was good. And I said, so here is what I have reminded myself in faith, that God is faithful, that God is able to do what has not been able to be done before. He said, that's a church I can help. And he ended up giving us the paper towel holders, and we ended up buying, you know, the paper towels and saving the church money. God never will face a giant that he's not more than capable of handling. God has power and might, and the level of power that he has compared to the power of the enemy isn't close. God's power to build up is far superior to the devil's ability to tear down. God's ability to resurrect is greater than the power of death. Death does not get the final word. God does. So Jehoshaphat, after saying, and in your hand is there not power and might, he's praying this publicly, reminding the people that God is the Almighty God. And he says the implication or the manifestation of that power means that no one is able to withstand God. No one is able to withstand, it says here in the New King James Version, you, capital Y. God says, this is what I'm going to do, and no one is going to be able to stop me. I'm here to tell you that God's ability to protect us is greater than the devil's plan to harm you. When you realize that the plan of God is to go forth, that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When you realize that, all of a sudden, the anxiety that may immobilize you and prevent you from stepping out, all of a sudden, that can be done away with, and you can step out, you can walk in faith. I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was probably early teens, I would imagine. My dad was sent to a training event down in Houston, Texas. I still remember the name of the hotel. We were put up in the Shamrock Hilton. And I remember this hotel down there that you would never see this today at a modern resort. The insurance liability would be way too high. But they had an Olympic platform diving setup that was there. So they had the diving board, they had the low platform, they had the high platform. And I remember saying, I'm going to go and jump off of that very top platform. And I climbed all the way up there, and I walked over to the edge, and I looked down, and I climbed back down the stairs, because I was, nope, I'm not jumping off of it. Now, I wouldn't have a problem. I'd just go run, jump, you know, do a cannonball from however high it was up there, and, you know, just have a splash. A lot of times it is the unknowns, it's the fear of failure, the hesitancy due to the concern that you may get injured in the process that causes us not to step out, and the enemy wants to keep us very close. Do you know that for the for most of history, many people did not have a huge traveling circumference in their life. I mean, jet travel has really opened up the world. But most people stayed in a very small atmosphere. You know, there were boats and people, you know, changed countries and traveled by boats and then planes and all that. Now you got cars and you can go. But a lot of people, they stayed really, really close to where they lived. And a lot of times where they lived is close to where they were born. And so they never really got out too far. It really took the mindset of an adventurer to say, I'm going to go out and see what else is out there. And for my wife and I, I remember when I got called to that first ministry assignment, and I pulled a U-Haul trailer behind a 1974 Firebird. Looked just like the one that Jim Rockford drove in the Rockford Files. And I remember my mother crying because I was leaving, but I was excited because God had a call on my life. And even though I was going to a place that was not going to pay me very much money, I was excited to see what God was going to do, and he did more than what I expected. So I want to remind you today that if your Monday is starting off like a long week, I had one of those here a couple of weeks ago. As like everything that I had planned for the day was disrupted. I thought that there were meetings set up and those meetings didn't happen, and then they were rescheduled later in the day, and everything was just unsettled. It was a long day. There was a lot to do, a lot going on. And you know, that's can make you pretty weary, can make you a little on the cranky side. I'm not saying that it did happen. I'm not saying that it didn't. Okay, it did. And if I can get you to focus right now on whatever your week looks like, whatever challenges you might be facing, if I can just remind you today that God is not just God, He is the Lord God of our fathers. You and I are benefiting from generational covenant with God. At Merit Assembly of God, we are the benefactors, we're the beneficiaries of people who stepped out in faith back in the 1950s and built a church. There was a little building there. They moved that building out of the way, I found out back in June, and they built a sanctuary. And even though it's needed a lot of maintenance through the years, they built a building that is still standing. You could still ride out a lot of storms in. We have benefited from their faith, from their giving, from their sacrifice. We still have one of the original pews from 1952. We repurposed the pews from 1957, 58, 59, whatever year they got those pews. They all fell apart. And we took those and repurposed it because we didn't want to be a church that forgot generational covenant. We wanted to remember the faithful saints who served Merritt Island before we ever knew Merritt Assembly of God existed. So today, if you've got a praying mother, a praying father, a praying grandmother or grandfather, thank God for generational covenant relationships. Also, I want you to stand at the starting line of this week and declare that God is God in heaven, where you may not have the physical strength or the natural resources. You might not know the solution yet, but you know the God who knows the solution. I want you to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is going to be Lord over this process. He says, God, I know that you rule over the kingdoms of the nations. I know that you know how to make a business prosper. I know that you are the best resource to find out how a marriage is supposed to work. I know that you are able to heal generational rifts between people and their children or their grandchildren. God, you know how to heal hurting hearts. I know that God is the God of omnipotence. He's not just God of a little power, of a little might. He is the God of all power and all might. And I also want you to say, as you look out at what this week has to offer, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to walk this week with me, because there is no one who can withstand you. There is no human being. There's no fallen angel. There's no devil that can withstand the plans and the purposes of God. When you're facing your week that week, or in that manner, you're going to see that faith is going to arise in your heart. I remember when God, so I'll close out the program this way. When I graduated high school and before I started college, I went on a missions trip, and we were told that we had to prepare a testimony because we were all going to share our testimony when we were on this missions trip. And I was working and I couldn't remember anything. And I was discussing it with my mother around my grandmother's dinner table, and I was telling her what I was facing, and she said, well, you should share this part of your testimony. And it's like, oh, wow. All of a sudden, I learned things that I had forgotten. I was reminded of it. And that was the part of my testimony that I went on to share. And you know what? I've never forgotten it since. As you are standing there, maybe with problems looking you square in the eye, say, I serve a faithful God who's bigger than my problems. My problems have an expiration date. God doesn't. Have a great week. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.